We begin the current daf and say, it's Chagiga daf Chafalf. We begin on the second line of the Yamid, where the Gemara begins the discussion elaborating on our Mishnah on the previous daf that spoke about Chaybir B'Kodesh Min B'Truma. There were 11 or maybe 10 different stringencies that there were over the halachas of Kodshim, Karbanos, over that of Truma. Now, the first one, the Gemara questions, spoke about the difficulty of Kli B'Toch Kli, which is if you want to immerse two utensils, one inside the other one. So that's allowed by Truma, but it's not allowed by Kachim. So the Gemara asks, B'Kodesh my time aloy, what is the reason why by Kachim we do not allow one to immerse when there's one Kli, one cup, inside of another cup, immersing both of them at the same time, but by Truma, yes. So Amar Rabbi Bila says, Nishikvedo shel Kli, says because the weight of the utensil, that is of the inner one that's weighing down on the inner walls of the outer vessel, the one that it's in, is Chaitzitz. It interposes from the water to the walls of the utensils, and therefore the tefillah will not work for either one of them. And that's because the water will not get to the outer wall of the inner vessel, and neither will it get to the inner wall of the outer one because it's pressing in it, and the water is not going to be able to get in it. Now, the Gemara in the next daf will ask, well, then the same thing should apply to Truma, where Truma also you have both of them, tummy, and we do allow being tevil one kli in another kli, but for that, the Gemara says right now, Rabbi Ila's interpretation is because it's going to be chatzitza. Now that, the Gemara asked, but Bahamid the Seifa, from the fact that later on in the Mishnah, meaning another mila where the Mishnah mentions of a chaymer stringency of from kachem over truma, that is mishum chatzitza because of interposition, so then reishalah mishum chatzitza. That would mean then that the first case of our Mishnah, the case that we're talking about of kli b'toch kli, should not be based on chatzitza. And that is, as Rashi explains, if both of them would be because of the reason of chatzitza, and what we're telling you is, obviously it's not a full-fledged chatzitza, because then it wouldn't work even by truma, it's just that we're telling you that regarding kachim, whatever is similar in some aspect, like chatzitza, that'll invalidate it by kachim, and that by truma we do not invalidate it, unless it's a full-fledged biblical chatzitza, well then it should have just picked one of the two of them. You have to pick, you're not picking all different ways that you could create some type of problematic that's similar to chatzitza. So we could pick 100 different cases. So if they're essentially they're the same halacha, then why would we say both of them as an individual stringency of kachim over truma? Diktanli seifa, because we have another case of a maila of chaymer b'kachim b'truma, where it says, v'leike midas ha-kodesh midas ha-truma. The Mishnah tells us that the measurement of chatzitza by kachim is different than that of truma. And that's because shebekodesh, regarding kachim, if you have something, a garment that you're immersing in the mikvah that's knotted, so matter first you have to untie it, umangav and then dry it, and then the matvah, then you immerse it, and then you can knot it afterwards. Ubetruma, however, kodesh v'achka matvah, we say we're not concerned about it. It's not a really chatzitza. And even if you want, you can even knot it beforehand and then go ahead and immerse it. So the question is that it seems to be that they're both saying the same thing, according to Rabbi Ila, who says that it's a problem of a quasi type of chatzitza, so why say two different cases? So the Gemara answers, Reisha v'seif mishum chatzitza v'tzricha. Actually, both cases, the first one of kli b'toch kli and the later one of having it knotted, that there are problems by kachim, are both, you're right, based on chatzitza, but still you need to say each one. The yashmin and Reisha, had we only said the Reisha, the case of when you have immersing one cup, let's say, in another cup, havamina haina time and delikadish la, I would have thought to say, you know why that doesn't work by kachim? Because there is the weight of the utensil getting in the way of the water, and therefore neither one of the kelim are having the water touching the whole body of the kli. That's why it's a problem. But regarding when it's knotted, where there's no weight of the utensil, I would say also regarding kachim, that's not a problem. And therefore you have to say the case of the knotted garment, that you have to untie it, because there you don't have that element of saying that the weight is a problem. The Yashmin and Seifa, had we only said the case of the Seifa that you have to untie the knot. So Havamina, we'd have thought to say that Haina Tam de Lakadish Lo, you know why there it's a problem by Kachim? That's Mishum, that's because, as we continue our Talmud Beis, the Kitshub Mayim, because when you have a knot that gets soaked with water, a Haduki Mehadik, it gets tighter, it gets more knotted, and therefore, actually, there it's more problematic, seemingly, of a Chatzitz, because then the water can't get in. But the first case of when you have a kli b'toch kli, demaya akfuye makfule lemona. Actually, to the contrary, we would say there that it's not a problem of chatzitza, because what the water does, it lifts up. When you're putting in two utensils, even one inside the other, the water then raises up the cups as they're coming in, and hence the water gets in between the two utensils. So therefore, I would say, lo havi chatzitza, that there would not be chatzitza. So tzricha, that's where I have to say the case of kli b'tei kli, to say that even though the water does levitate a little bit, it still would make a problem of chatzitza, and that's why you have to say both cases. Now, the Gemara clarifies that Rib Ila, who he said this interpretation of the case of the ratio of kli b'tei kli, that it's a problem by kodshim because of chatzitza, it's letame. He's going according to his reasoning that we mentioned elsewhere. Because the Amr Ila, Amr Chanina bar Papa, he says, Esther Maile Shanukan, he says that in our Mishnah, there are 10 levels of stringencies that we have between Truma and Kachim. Now, if one reads our Mishnah, as we had said in the previous daf, we read it as 11 stringencies. The only thing is, that's because these two reasonings of Kli B'tei Kli and of the knotted garment, they're essentially one according to him. And that's because, as we just explained, he holds that both essentially the same concern about chatzitza, is just we have to say both because you wouldn't know one from the other, and that's why he counts them as one, and therefore he only has 10 milas, not 11. Now, in that, these 10, he does say that there are actually two categories. Chamesh Rishaynis, which we have it as 6, as we're going to see, there is an opinion that says it's 11, but the first 6 are really, according to him, there are 5. So he says, Chamesh Rishaynis, the first 5, Bein L'Kodesh, the stringencies that we apply to the Kodshim, is whether it's really intrinsically Kodshim, but it's a carbon, something that's applicable to carbonas, or Bein L'Chulin Shenasu Al Taras HaKodesh. So we're saying that this applies even to unconsecrated objects. However, the sanctity that one is applying to it, because that's the level of stringency he applies with it, is on the Tahara of Kodshim. So then they also have this elevation of status of Chumris, of that it has over the trumas. That's only for the first 5. Achrayinus, the last 5 stringencies, L'kodesh is only for actual kachim, avalei l'chulin shenasa taras kodesh, but it does not apply to chulin, even though one gives it the status and he treats it as a full-fledged kachim, as we had brought on previous daffin, because let's say someone that's accustomed to always eating karbonas. So he doesn't want his family to be coming lax in other areas, let's say in chulin, because they might come to then be lax in kachim. So he treats everything al taras kodesh. So although there are these 10 stringencies of kachim over truma, only the first 5 will apply to those chulin, that's al taras hakodesh. But for the last 5, even though you normally treat your chulin like the same as kachim, those 5 stringencies would not apply to those chulin that are made al taras hakodesh. So the Gemara asks, my time, what's the reason of that discrepancy? So the Gemara explains, chamash kamais, the first 5, the islahu darurud de tum midairaisa, that there is an element of true concern, that the reason why we're giving this Chumrah for Kachim is because it might actually come to a Tumah D'Oraisa. Now, for Truma, we're not concerned. But however, regarding Kachim, there is an element over here of being a biblical Tumah. As Rashi goes through the first 5, which are essentially the 6 that we have in the Mishnah, you have the case of Kli B'tei Kli. Now, if it really is a Chatzitza, although, like by Truma, we'll see we're not concerned about it, but Kachim, which is a higher level of Tahara that we're concerned for, well, that might actually be a biblical tumah because you're immersing the kalim, they're really biblically tumah. Now, although we shouldn't be concerned when we're putting it in, but it might be chatzitza, that's a problem, could be biblical. The second case of when you have different components of one utensil, it has a back, it has an inside, it has the place where you hold it from. Now, although essentially that case, as we had explained in the Mishnah, is talking about a utensil that became tumah on the outside only from beverages, which is only a rabbinic tumah, because biblically a kli cannot become tumah from regular mashkim, from regular beverages. However, the halacha that the rabbanan made, that they said that beverages could go ahead and transmit tumah to a kli, the reason for that gezerah was because of we're concerned of a mix-up with the liquids that come out of a zav and a zava, which is a male and a female that have certain emissions coming out of their body, where, for example, let's say their spittle and their urine goes and actually transmits tumah to a kli biblically. And therefore, since by biblical tumah there's no difference in a metal utensil where it touched, if it touched the back part or the inside, wherever it touched it transmits tumah to the entire thing. And therefore, although yes, the case we're discussing of the different components, the stringency that we apply to kachim is only by rabbinic tumah, but that tumah has an element of concern for a biblical tumah, and therefore we said that we're going to apply this also to chulin shenasa al taras hakodesh, because again, there's an element of biblical tumah here. The third case of when you're carrying a medras, for example, you're carrying the shoe of a zav, there's also a biblical element over there, as the Gemara will explain on the coming daf, that there was an incident where what happened was that the lace of the shoe fell into the airspace of the barrel, which that's a concern of the tumah medras, which is Abba Tumah, transmitting Tumah to the object that you're holding. So although you're holding in your other hand the barrel made out of earthenware where you cannot transmit Tumah from the outside, but there's a concern that it might fall into the ear space, which is a concern of a biblical Tumah. Again, that's why it's going to apply to this case of Chulin, Shenasal Tazak Kodesh. The fourth case of our Mishnah, where it's talking about the garments of those who eat Truma, meaning for Kahanim, will be considered an avatum of medrash for kachim. Again, that's a real biblical concern, because maybe his wife, who we consider a nida, because their status of tahara is lower down than that of kachim, is again a chashash tumah deraisa. And the fifth case, in our Mishnah we counted as six, is just that we're not counting the fifth of the kesher of untying the knot, because according to Rabbi Ila, that's the same case as a kli shepetach kli. So regarding a utensil that was, you know, you finished it in its state of purity, that again, as the Gemara will explain, daf chav gimel amud aleph, is a concern that maybe this, that there would be a stream coming from the ignoramus, who maybe he's a zav, and then again, maybe there is a biblical tumah here, again, although there are gzeiros that we only apply to kachim, but still, gazu b'rabanan, bein l'kodesh, bein l'chulin shenasa tarza kodesh. Since there is a biblical element over here, although maybe not that we would generally assume, but since it's kachim, we take a more stringent approach, so therefore we apply it not just to kachim, but also to those that treat their chulin, their unconsecrated produce, with the same level as kodesh itself. But basraisa, the lesser hudara de tumah, midairaisa, but regarding the last five, where there's no concern, the reason why we say we have these stringencies by kachim has nothing to do because we're concerned that it might be a biblical tumah. For example, the din of that, if a tumah touches one of the many food items inside this one huge bowl, that we say that kli is mitzar for whatever's inside of it, that's not because we're concerned that maybe it touched all of them. It didn't. It's just a type of astringency we give for kachim, and therefore gazib rabban l'kodesh. That was only a decree we made for kachim to give that elevated status of stringency. But l'chulin shanasa tarasa kodesh l'gazib rabbanan. But if it's only chulin that you treat with this level of sanctity of tahara that we do for kachim, the rabban didn't make a decree because this is not kachim. And even though you're doing it for concerns of tumah, that's okay, because these last five, we don't have a concern of biblical tumah. It's for different reasons that we gave these elevated stringencies that we gave for kachim. That was according to the interpretation of Rabbi Ila in why is kli shepetach kli a problem when one is immersing it for kachim purposes. However, Rav Amar, he argues in Rabbi Ila. He says, the question that the Gemara had asked in Rabbi Ila, he says, midaseifa hava mishum chatzitza, from the fact that the case of untying the knot before you immerse it for kachim is because of a concern that it might be considered chatzitza, so then Rachel la mishum chatzitza, then he says it must be the first case of having one utensil and another, cannot be, as we had asked, because then why are we saying both cases? So therefore, he says a different interpretation. He says, "Vereisha hainu taima." The reason of the problem of immersing one vessel inside of another vessel is for something a different concern, gizeret's concern, shlo yatvul mechtin b'tzinayris, that one should not immerse small little tiny utensils like needles and these small little forks that they would spin gold with, because they can get easily lost inside a mikvah. Now, if we allow you to immerse a kli inside a kli, so he might put it, he might put it in a utensil, now he doesn't want it to fall out in the mikveh, he's not going to be able to get it from the bottom of the mikveh. So he's going to put in something that has a very small hole, so you can fit it in, and you could do kli shedekli. Problem is that hole might not be the size of the straw that's in a flask. Now, as Gemara will surely illustrate, that's not considered a tvila. The reason is because the water that's inside that flask, in that utensil, will not be considered attached to the rest of the mikveh water. So essentially, you're not immersing your needle in the mikveh, you're only immersing in that little water that's inside that flask. As the Gemara says, like we learn in the Mishnah Masechtas Mikvayos, that we see that although bodies of water are considered connected, but it has to be at least the size of Shveferes Hanoid, a certain size, as the Gemara will explain how wide it has to be. Now, only then will it be considered connected. And the same thing for Kli Shepetach Kli, that's okay. But it has to be that you are connected to the mikveh waters. But if the kli that you're putting it into has a hole that's smaller than that size, then it's not connected to the mikveh waters, and then you're not going to be immersing your needles and your little forks inside the mikveh. And that's a problem of biblical proportions, and that's the way we're concerned about it. As the Mishnah says in Masechtas Mikvayos, it says, Eruv Mikvayos. You could mix mikvayos, and that is if, let's say, you have a mikveh that's deficient, doesn't have the requisite shear, but it's side by side with a full mikveh. Now, one would do that if, let's say, one is clean and one is not clean, but there's a pipe that connects the two of them. Now, if that hole, the width of that pipe that's connecting the two of them, is kishveferes hanoid, is like a reed, which is like the straw that they would put into the hole of a leather flask that they would use to take the liquid out. If it's koiveho, if it's like that thickness, and we continue to tabach of bezem and alf, ukechalolo, and like the space, which that is, kishtei etzboyis choyzes l'mkayman. We will only consider the two mikvahs mixed, which again, this is a procedure that's used in all current day mikvahs, only if it has that a person could then move around in that space of that hole, his two fingers in every direction, that's considered a mixture of the two mikvahs, and then you could immerse in either one because it's considered one contiguous body of water. And the same thing would apply, that even in the deficient mikvah, you could immerse kalim in that mikvah. Now, the case of the kli shebetech kli, that's the problem why Rav is saying that one cannot go ahead and immerse it that way in kachim is because maybe, since you're going to allow a vessel inside another vessel, you might come to put your needles in a flask that has a hole smaller than Shveferes HaNoid. Now that's a problem of biblical proportions, and that is because what will end up happening is that you didn't immerse them at all. You immersed it in the water in the flask, but that water is not considered connected if it has such a small hole to the mikvah water. And that's why we said you can't do kli shebetech kli by kachim. We were more concerned because then you might come to do it in a kli that has a hole that's so small that then it won't be connecting that inner kli with the mikvah on the outside. Now the Gemara clarifies, as it did regarding Rabbi Ila, so Sabala, obviously Rav holds kahadam Rav Nachman Rav Barvua that Yud Aleph Ma'ilashanukan. That obviously there's 11 stringencies of chaymer of kachim over truma. Not like Rabbi Ila, who it was only 10 because he said they were both of chatzitza, which they are, the two groupings are sheish rishonis, as we said, that it's not 5, but rather 6 according to Rava. And they are bein l'kodesh, bein l'chulin shenasot taras ha-kodesh. They apply to both chulin, both the kodeshim and chulin shenasot taras ha-kodesh, as we explained, because that case that Rava said is also a biblical concern of tumma, because if the hole is that small, you didn't immerse that at all. And therefore that would apply even to chulin shenasot taras ha-kodesh. However, achreinus, regarding the last 5, l'kodesh avaloi l'chulin shenasot taras ha-kodesh. That would only apply to the kodeshim themselves, but to set to chulin, to unconsecrated produce, even though you treat it as kachim, it wouldn't apply, as we said, because there it's not, there's no dara, the tumma, the raisa, it's just certain status we gave for kachim, and it wouldn't apply to chulin that you treat with the sanctity of tumma tahara as kachim itself.